Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news just moments ago, a North Raleigh intersection reopened to drivers. Hours after a shooter opened fire on an SUV, you are seconds away from new information.
Plus, it's been over 24 hours since a Durham teenager walked out of her high school and disappeared. Her mother's passionate plea for information. And it's a beautiful afternoon, but look what happens next. Rain on Friday, sunshine Saturday, but rain on Sunday. I'll walk you through the weekend and show you how to plan around the showers.
And that breaking news, a road impacted by an early morning shooting is now open to traffic, but the shooter is still on the run. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We first reported this as breaking news this morning, and we now know that two men were injured in a shooting on Wake Forest Road. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan has been talking with businesses and police and joins us live at the scene. Chelsea, what did they tell you?
Yeah, Michelle, we want to mention that Wake Forest Road here at Hodges Street has just reopened after being closed for 5 hours. Police were diverting traffic, actually, as they processed a crime scene right here on this road, right in front of the Biscuitville. This was an investigation that centered around a silver GMC SUV. Let's show you some of that video. This morning, investigators processed that vehicle that was marked with blood on the hood of the car, the windows shattered by bullets. Raleigh police say just before 6 o'clock this morning, shots rang out in front of the restaurant. An employee from Biscuitville actually called 911 and helped one of the injured, according to a spokesperson for the restaurant. Police said two men were transported to a hospital. One had serious injuries, the other non-life-threatening injuries. Broadcastify scanner traffic that I listened to revealed one victim was shot in the face, the other in the leg. We should mention that Biscuitville is closed for the day. Now, in another scene, police said a crash on Interstate 440 near Capitol Boulevard was related to this shooting. That snarled traffic there for hours. One westbound lane of I-440 was blocked in Raleigh as a result, and Sky 5 showed a dark SUV on that interstate that appeared to have crashed into a concrete barrier. Now, police tell me this morning that the suspect in this shooting is still at large. They don't have any suspect information at this time, but they say this here was an isolated incident with no danger to the public. Michelle.
Chelsea Donovan reporting live in Raleigh for us. Thanks, Chelsea.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. Less than an hour ago, the family of a Hope Mills teen shot and killed by a Greensboro police officer announcing the filing of a lawsuit. 17-year-old DeSanto Crenshaw was shot and killed while trying to run away from a traffic stop back in August. He was in a vehicle with two other teens. Now, the lawsuit against the city of Greensboro and the officer involved. Civil rights attorneys Harry Daniels and Shamika White are representing the family in this case. They and Crenshaw's mother and other supporters wrapped up a news conference a short time ago. The FBI is investigating this shooting involving that Greensboro police officer. Now, before we came on the air, we checked, and the Greensboro police have not identified that police officer or released any body camera video related to this incident.
Ken, thanks. A Durham mother is searching for her daughter after she left school yesterday morning. Bailey Sims is a freshman student at Riverside High School, and her family hasn't seen her in more than 24 hours now. WRAL's Monica Casey is at Riverside. Monica, where do things stand now?
Well, they are still searching for this missing 15-year-old. Bailey Sims' mother made this missing persons flyer and asks anyone with information about her daughter's whereabouts to call her or Durham police. Lucretia Carter Sims tells me surveillance footage from Riverside High School caught Bailey on camera getting into a black SUV. Bailey's teacher called Carter Sims after her daughter went to the library and never came back. Her iPhone usually shares location with her mother. That feature has been turned off. Carter Sims says this situation doesn't make sense.
Is there anybody who knows her would call her studious and quiet and, you know, focused on school? You know, this is out of character.
Bailey is 5'3 and 140 pounds. She was last seen in a black sweatshirt and blue jeans. I have reached out to Durham Public Schools for more information about their policies on students leaving school during the day. They tell me they are working on answers to my questions. Jeff.
All right, Monica Casey live in Durham for us this noon. Monica, thank you. Meantime, the search for a missing 15-year-old boy resumed this morning on Jordan Lake. So far, the Chatham County Sheriff's Office has only found a life jacket and the jet ski that teen boy was riding. Family released this photo of Robert Diletto last night. They say he was with another family member when his jet ski broke down Tuesday night. And when that family member went to get help and returned, Diletto was gone.
Our next front approaches tonight, bringing us a wet morning commute. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at the timeline for tomorrow's rain. Elizabeth.
Plenty of rain setting up back to our west right now. We currently have high pressure sitting over us, and that's keeping us nice and dry. It's actually a cool but beautiful afternoon. This warm front will continue to lift northward toward us. It isn't going to warm us up. We're actually not going to see warmer air with this, but we will see all the rain associated with that front moving into our area by late tonight. This is lunchtime, and we're looking at clear skies. We have a few high, thin clouds out there, but for the most part, it looks beautiful. There's 5 p.m. By the time we get to midnight, we're starting to see a little bit more cloud cover moving in. Between, say, 4 and 6 a.m., we start to see scattered showers moving across the area. But notice, not a lot of coverage there. It's going to be fairly light. By 8 a.m., we get another wave that rolls through. No thunder, no lightning, but we just may see an uptick in the amount of precipitation that falls. Once we get past lunchtime, we're pretty much done with it. That's going to be the end of it, minus maybe a quick little shower that rolls through right at the end, say around 8 or 9 o'clock. So here's a look at what will happen for us tomorrow. We're going to see the rain moving in before most folks head to work in the morning. So it is going to be a wet morning commute, just some scattered showers. After lunchtime, the rain pretty much ends. There could be an isolated shower, but the bulk of it will happen before lunchtime. And then maybe a quick disturbance that happens during the evening and then some clearing. Temperatures will be chilly tomorrow with this rain. I'll show you how chilly it stays through the weekend, and we'll tie. I'll show you the timeline for Sunday and Monday's rain as well coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A push to tighten the punishment for violent protests could reach Governor Roy Cooper's desk today. Final votes are expected in the North Carolina Senate today on the so-called anti-riot bill. It's a response to the 2020 riots in Raleigh over racial injustice that left several businesses damaged downtown. Critics say the bill is racist and will prevent people from holding peaceful protests. But supporters say it will discourage violence at demonstrations. If the bill passes, Governor Cooper has not said if he will sign it. He has previously vetoed a similar measure. Starting soon, you'll not be able to turn right on red in several parts of downtown Raleigh. City Council recently authorized changes to add no turn on red signs to the area. The change affects the intersections outlined in this photo. The project is part of a plan to make downtown safer for people walking. The signs are expected to be up by the end of April.
The CEO of Norfolk Southern faces lawmakers on Capitol Hill to answer questions about toxic spills. And this comes as concerns grow over possible long-term health effects in the area. Mark Meredith has more.
I want to begin today by expressing how deeply sorry I am for the impact this derailment has had on the residents of East Palestine.
Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw says his company is sorry for last month's toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. On February 3rd, multiple tank cars ran off the tracks and ignited, sending dangerous chemicals into the soil and wastewater. The disaster prompting Ohio's senators to co-sponsor a bill establishing stronger safety requirements for trains carrying hazardous materials.
Shouldn't take a train derailment for elected officials to put partisanship aside and work together for the people whom we serve, not corporations like Norfolk Southern.
The NTSB's preliminary report finding an overheated wheel bearing as a factor in the derailment. This week, Norfolk Southern announced plans to install dozens of temperature detectors along the tracks that can provide real-time warnings to train crews. The company also plans to spend more than $20 million assisting the Ohio, Pennsylvania communities impacted by the crash. And while no one was killed in the disaster, some residents have developed headaches and respiratory symptoms. Lawmakers say they're concerned about the long-term effects of this toxic spill.
The residents don't feel safe. I think they have every reason not to feel safe. So what are we going to do moving forward to get their lives back on track?
That was Mark Meredith reporting. As the cleanup continues, Norfolk Southern also faces questions about its safety practices. An NTSB investigation is ongoing.
Well, happening now in the WRAL Live Center, President Biden is about to take a trip to Pennsylvania to push his budget proposal. I want to give you these live look at Marine One, bringing the president to Joint Base Andrews, where Air Force One is ready to take him to Pennsylvania today. Now, the president will be pushing a budget proposal that cuts the deficit by nearly $3 trillion. That's actually higher than what he promised in the January State of the Union address. Now, this appears to be the first salvo in an upcoming debate about raising the country's debt ceiling so the U.S. won't default on its loans. GOP leaders say raising the debt limit must be accompanied by some type of deficit reduction in the budget. We should also note that GOP leaders are already pushing back on this proposal. Again, this is Marine One landing at Joint Base Andrews. Air Force One is ready to take the president to Philadelphia, where he'll be making that speech.
Ken, thanks. Quarterfinals of the ACC tournament are underway. Just moments ago in Greensboro, four North Carolina teams are still alive in the bracket. Wake Forest just tipped off with Miami. Duke will get its tournament run started at 2:30. Fourth-seeded Blue Devils play Pittsburgh. Later, NC State will play Clemson tonight after a big win last night over last year's tournament winner, Virginia Tech. And North Carolina will play Virginia tonight in the quarterfinals after taking down Boston College last night. WRL's live ACC tournament coverage continues later today. Brett Nice will join the WRL sports team at the Greensboro Coliseum for pre- and post-game coverage.
Coming up next for us at noon, emotional testimony from the parents of some of the people killed in the shooting at Michigan State University last month, what they're asking to be done about gun laws.
Also, a mandatory assembly in a California school has parents upset. The performance that made some students uncomfortable.
Plus, a different take on climate concerns. At 12:30, what experts say global warming could mean for illnesses in the future.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
And we have some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. We want to update a story we just reported at the top of the newscast in the A block here in our new news. We just got word that search and rescue teams recovered the body of 15-year-old Robert Enrico DeLitto. They've been searching this body of water for the last 24 hours plus, looking for this 15-year-old who was jet skiing with his family a couple of days ago. His jet ski developed some type of mechanical issue. A family member went ashore to get help, but when the family member came back, DeLitto was gone. Just yesterday, the Chatham County search and rescue teams found just a life jacket and that jet ski. But again, within the last 5 minutes, we confirmed that rescue crews found the body of Robert Enrique DeLitto.
That's such a sad ending there, Ken. Thank you. Michigan gun laws could soon be changing in the wake of a deadly mass shooting at Michigan State University. Today, lawmakers are scheduled to hold a second hearing that would advance gun reform bills. The State House heard emotional testimonies from parents of victims. One mother described the moment her son called to let her know there was a gunman on campus and that he had been shot. She says she made it to the university just in time to tell him that she loved him.
There, I found Troy being loaded into the ambulance. He was as gray as cement. But I was able to tell him that I loved him and that he was strong before the ambulance sped away.
Her son survived. Changes include universal background checks that would apply to all firearms, including long guns, as well as a change to safe storage and red flag laws. Michigan's governor says she will sign the measure if they make it to her desk. A family is suing Airbnb after their 19-month-old daughter died of fentanyl toxicity during a stay in a Florida rental. 19-month-old Enora Lavenier died on August 7, 2021, a day after her family checked into an Airbnb rental in Palm Beach. The family was staying there during a trip from France. The medical examiner ruled the toddler died of acute fentanyl toxicity. They filed a wrongful death lawsuit alleging that the Airbnb listing had a history of being used as a party house.
A mandatory assembly at a high school in California is stirring up debate. Students from the school's LGBTQ group danced in drag, which some students say made them uncomfortable. The assembly was meant to showcase different cultures and backgrounds. Some parents say their children should have been allowed to leave, but not everyone thought it was inappropriate.
I've seen far more sexualized performances by high school dance teams, and they're wearing a lot less clothing than, you know, the drag performers were.
When you're sexualizing kids under the umbrella of inclusivity, that's where it draws a line.
The school released a statement saying the show was held in full compliance with student codes of conduct and existing requirements for on-campus events. Texas Tech's head basketball coach Mark Adams has stepped down. It comes days after he was suspended for making a racially insensitive comment. Adams referenced Bible verses about slaves serving their masters, a comment Texas Tech is calling inappropriate, unacceptable, and racially insensitive. He says he was encouraging the student athletes to be more receptive to coaching. Adams apologized to the team immediately following the comment.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is hospitalized after a fall at a D.C. dinner. Republican senator was at a private dinner at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, formerly the Trump International Hotel. It's on Pennsylvania Avenue, and that's where he tripped. No condition has been reported. In 2019, McConnell suffered a shoulder fracture after he tripped and fell in his Kentucky home. That injury required surgery to repair the fracture.
Join WREL tonight as we celebrate and support our amazing local arts community during the third annual Big Night in for the Arts. The event features performances by Tony Award winner Beth Level, fusion folk artists Larry and Joe, social media dance superstars Causton Mayer, plus a live performance from Grammy-nominated country artist Reese Palmer. You can watch, donate, and celebrate the arts tonight at 7 o'clock on WREL. And also, wherever you stream WREL, you can even donate now at bignightin.org. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Big Night In. It started with the pandemic, so they had to find a way around their music and art performances. But folks could have a big day out here today with some of the sunshine out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Better do it soon because the rain's coming.
That's right. Tomorrow's going to be fairly wet. You might be able to squeeze something in during the afternoon after the rain begins to taper off, but it's going to be pretty chilly. As a matter of fact, our high tomorrow is likely to be less than this. It feels pretty pleasant. I mean, there's definitely a chill to the air right now, but we're seeing mostly sunny skies. It looks pretty out. Everything looks springing up. Tulips are blooming and trees are blooming, and it looks lovely out there, but it's definitely colder than it was earlier in the week. We should climb into the mid-60s, though, this afternoon. That's another 10 degrees from where we are right now. And if we can gain that much warmth, it will really feel pretty nice out there this afternoon. Take a look at where we started this morning. We hit 28 this morning in Roxboro. We tend to see the coldest temperature of the morning at around 7 a.m. And so we hit 33 in Durham and Raleigh, 28 Southern Pines, 32 Goldsboro, 33 in Rocky Mount, 32 South Hill. So we were close to freezing almost everywhere. The last time we hit freezing officially at RDU was way back February 19th. So it's been over 3 weeks. You know, it had just been so warm, and even the colder temperatures that we saw were sporadic. We didn't, you know, have a lot of long streaks of cool temperatures or even temperatures that were at, you know, or below normal at all. Our temperatures are warming up now. We're mainly in the mid 50s. It's 57 in Southern Pines, 57 in Clinton, 55 in Goldsboro, 55 in South Hill. So it's it feels pleasant out there. Our temperatures are just a couple of degrees warmer than they were yesterday when we made it into the low 60s. So we're certainly on track to potentially hit mid 60s this afternoon, maybe 66 in Fayetteville, 63 Goldsboro, 63 in Roxboro, and mid 60s around the Triangle area. Definitely looking at some changes that come tomorrow. But if you're headed this afternoon to Greensboro for the ACC tournament to catch Duke, temperatures looking good, 60 at around 2 o'clock in Greensboro, 63 at 4 o'clock as that game is winding down. Our normal high is 60, so we'll be a little above that today. And then after that, for the next 7 days, our temperatures are likely to be only in the 50s. Tomorrow, 55, and I think we'll be lucky to reach that 55. It may be cooler than that in some places with that rain that's going to last at least for half the day. And then on Sunday, we'll see rain toward the end of the day. That day will be cool, too, at 50 degrees. We have some more chilly mornings in our forecast, too. Sunday morning, 34, and Tuesday morning, 35. We do have some rain in the forecast, but that rain is not likely to be with us Sunday morning. So currently, We don't have the potential for any freezing precipitation around here, but we could see a frost advisory either one of those mornings. So we're looking at rain Friday and again on Sunday, and we're going to walk through the timeline of that. Of course, you can see once again this warm front that's pushing some of that precipitation toward us. Not for today. Today's going to stay nice and dry, of course, as we get through the evening, and then that chance for rain begins to pick up as we get into the morning hours and lasts at least until, say, early afternoon before it begins to taper off a little bit. We're going to walk through our timeline for rain on Sunday into Monday. It looks like the rain would be heavier during that second round, and I'll show you some of the totals we're expecting coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Rocky Mount has a full-time city manager for the first time in over a year. Ahead at 4:30, the first interview with Rochelle Smalltoney and his vision for the city's future.
And at 5, more new rules for parades in Raleigh. The changes the city made after a little girl died during last year's Christmas parade. Still ahead this noon, families are not the only people affected by inflation. Coming up, we'll tell you how businesses are trying to avoid layoffs.
Also, I know I'm not alone in this. I saw some pollen on my car, which means spring is right around the corner. Later, we'll show you which tech company is embracing this season change.
We're following some more breaking news here in the WRA Live Center, updating a story we just reported in the last 10 minutes. We told you about that Riverside teen that hadn't been seen in several hours. There she is, her picture right there, Lucretia Carter Sims. Well, we just found out that she has been found. Apparently, she left the library and never came back to class several hours ago, about a day or so ago. And her mother, of course, was very concerned. We just reported that they hadn't seen her, but now we're getting word in the WRL newsroom that she has been found. We're getting more details. Look for new reporting coming up starting at 4 right here on WRL.
That is such good news. Thank you for that, Ken. Spotify has a plan to help you discover new music and a recall of office chairs. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber. General Motors and Stellantis are among the firms investing in a company that provides holographic information right on your windshield. The two automakers are part of a group of firms investing $50 million in the UK-based startup Invisix. Invisix technology allows helpful information to be displayed on the windshield so the driver doesn't have to look at the instrument panel or the infotainment screen. Typically, information such as a vehicle speed and navigation are displayed. Nearly 82,000 office chairs are being recalled over concerns the back could detach from the base. Chairs were sold by retailer TJX at its chains, including Marshalls, TJ Maxx, and Home Goods. The company has received a dozen reports of the back of the chair breaking. 10 have resulted in injuries. The chairs retailed for $60 to $70 and were sold between June 2019 and last December. More details on how to identify the chairs can be found on the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website, cpsc.gov. Spotify wants to help you discover artists right on its platform rather than on TikTok or YouTube. The streaming giant is rolling out a video feed that recommends music, podcasts, and audiobooks through short clips. So it's called Previews, and it prompts you to swipe through recommendations. Spotify hopes to the short clips will actually encourage users to save music and shows to their libraries for future use. And it's betting that by helping users hear or see something brand new, will make it easier to retain users for the long term. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ MarketSite.
Inflation is affecting everyone, and now businesses are looking for ways to save money. Many companies used to offer extra perks like free meals and game rooms, but now businesses are starting to cut back on some of their costs to try to avoid major layoffs. Experts say this will change the boss-employee dynamic, as many workers will have to get used to life without the free perks. A new road closure took effect this morning near the state fairgrounds. After the break, we'll tell you how long it'll last.
Plus, it might not seem like much, but losing an hour of sleep can really have a dramatic impact on your body. How you can start preparing to spring forward this weekend.
And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A major detour is now in place for the next few months near the state fairgrounds. WRAL's Naya Harden spent the morning at Hillsborough Street near Blue Ridge Road to show us what drivers can expect.
all morning long, we have seen drivers really surprised by all of this. You can tell right here the backup that this is causing. People are coming to this area near the state fairgrounds here. They notice the road closed sign, and they're having to turn around and go back where they came from to follow the detour. This, as it is the very first morning that drivers are having to deal with this closure. The intersection closed around 8 o'clock last night, and crews continued to work through the night. This morning, though, they actually added a connector road to provide some access between Hillsborough Street and Blue Ridge Road during the construction. DOT says this is all to make the area safer for people going to and from major events at nearby venues. Drivers will need to look for new ways to get around the closure for the next several months. DOT expects this to be complete by the fall. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
The Wake County Sheriff's Office plans to increase patrols at greenways in the county after a smash and grab at a popular location in Raleigh. Thieves broke into this car on the Neuse River Greenway at the Mile Plantation Trailhead. And deputies believe there could be more people involved in this. We talked to one victim Wednesday evening.
Waiting for the sheriff to arrive, we talked to some other people in the parking lot, and they're like, oh, was your car broken into? And we said, yes. They're like, that's like the third one.
Yeah, there's no exact date that's been given for the extra patrols just yet.
We're getting an inside look at the North Carolina Freedom Park in downtown Raleigh. It's been nearly 3 years since crews broke ground on the program, and now we're closer to seeing the final product. Contractors say it has taken 17 years to reach this point, but they hope the park will serve as a place to appreciate the state's Black history. Students at Wake Early College plan to use their skills to create an app highlighting Black history in downtown Raleigh, including Freedom Park.
There isn't anything else like this in other places in Raleigh.
They will reflect on the quotes that are around the wall, and they will look at the beacon, which is a guide and an inspiration for the future, and they will leave here with a new outlook on freedom and equality for all.
Contractors hope to welcome its first guests this summer.
And you into the WRAL Live Center. Wake Med updating its visitation and masking policies. Right now, masking is optional for staff, patients, and visitors in places like public hallways, break rooms, and conference rooms. Masks, though, are required for staff, patients, and visitors 2 years and older in the emergency room waiting areas, the surgical waiting areas, waiting rooms where social distancing might be difficult, as well as nursing unit hallways. Masking also required for staff and visitors above 2 years old in patients' rooms as well, but patients don't have to wear masks.
Also, Ken, the demand for home health aides and personal care jobs is expected to grow 25% between now and 2030. CNBC's Bertha Combs introduces us to a woman who's taken her own experience as an aide and built a company to help train caregivers right on their phones.
We're going to work on giving Andy a bed bath. Okay?
It takes hands-on training to learn how to bathe a patient. But staying up to date on home health aide skills takes more than a few classes.
So many times I'd be showing up at a client's home and really having very basic or bare level experience.
Helena Diasson worked her way through college as a home health aide. After business school, she launched Care Academy to help women like her who work in home health care learn the skills they need on demand.
We think about ourselves really very similar to a Netflix of healthcare.
With advanced skill training that can help home care workers earn higher pay.
Rushing can increase confusion, so give your client plenty of time.
We have 600 plus classes. We have specialized certifications as well. So that includes learning about the needs of clients throughout their dementia care.
Boston home care agency Best of Care signed on to the program in 2018 and saw staff turnover fall below 25%. For home health aides working night shifts especially, online training has been a game changer.
We'll see that they've completed a Care Academy education course at 3 a.m. while their client is sleeping overnight. They're able to get some training in.
That was Bertha Combs reporting. Care Academy works with home care agencies as well as nursing homes who pay for the workers' courses. A The founder hopes she can help home care workers pursue nursing and other jobs in healthcare.
A bipartisan group of state lawmakers rolled out a package of bills this morning to address North Carolina's child care shortage. Lawmakers are calling for increased state subsidies and regulatory changes in an industry that has struggled to keep up with demand from working parents. Parents across the state report long wait lists for care, and daycare say they're losing staff to fast food restaurants and other jobs that in many cases offer higher pay with fewer responsibilities. These bills will be debated as the state legislative issue continues this spring and summer. Higher temperatures in the Arctic could lead to potential health threats in the future. NASA climate scientists say the warmer conditions are causing part of the region's permafrost to thaw. Permafrost is a frozen layer of soil that is beneath the surface. Scientists say if the permafrost thaws significantly, some viruses that have been lying dormant for tens of thousands of years could emerge and possibly endanger animals and humans. NASA says efforts should be made to stop the thaw by addressing overall climate concerns. Just ahead for us, when it comes to filing your taxes, don't follow any hacks, the new warning from the IRS.
And we're just days away from springing forward. Why some experts are warning it could negatively impact our health. For news, traffic, and weather of the day, be sure to download the WRL News app. From college-level courses and even trauma counseling, many prisons across the country offer programs for inmates to reform before their release. Many critics say these opportunities are an unwarranted luxury, but data is proving how important these rehabilitation programs are. Kevin Cork takes a look at how inmates are trying to bounce back after COVID-19 took away the programs.
COVID-19 lockdowns at the height of the pandemic put life as we knew it on hold. And across the nation's jails and prisons, similar lockdowns also went into effect, preventing inmates from taking part in counseling and academic programs advocates say are critical for their mental well-being and rehabilitation.
We need these programs. We need them. Because if not, change is impossible.
Data collected by the Associated Press found the 10 largest state prison systems either stopped or reduced in-person visits for an average of 490 days during the height of the pandemic.
That little dark bubble of loneliness.
Inmates were not only prevented from seeing family and friends, but volunteers from various educational and therapeutic programs designed to help inmates reform their behavior were also barred from entering.
It was like being on an island by yourself.
Large inmate populations, combined with limited medical facilities, made controlling the spread of COVID-19 difficult behind bars. More than 3,100 prisoners died from COVID-related complications through the middle of January this year, according to data collected by the law school at the University of California in Los Angeles.
That was Kevin Cork reporting. A nonprofit group found that inmates who participate in any kind of educational course are about 43% less likely to become a repeat offender.
A tax hack found on social media could get you in hot water with the IRS. A new scam that urges people to use a tax software to fill out W-2 and add made-up income information. Another scam that involves adding fake dependents to people's households. The IRS is warning people that these so-called hacks can lead to tax law violations. The violations could include big fines and also penalties. Our clocks are gearing up to spring ahead, but not everyone's excited. Coming up, a look at the health risks daylight saving time could pose for you also.
You don't need to do anything extraordinary. Sometimes the best acts of love are just in the ordinary.
And later, there is beauty in ordinary things. How a grandfather went viral after taking a vacation with his family. Apple is releasing a new phone color just in time for spring. It's a yellow iPhone. It'll now be Apple's newest addition to the 14 and 14 Plus models. Matches your dress, Michelle. You should get one. Apple has typically announced new colors right around this time, springtime. Consumers can also get their hands on one of the newly pastel-colored watch bands or phone cases. Price starts at $800 for the phone, and they're available starting Tuesday.
That's really trendy, matching your dress to your phone.
Yeah,
might have to do it. Yeah. All right, government leaders on Capitol Hill are deciding whether to make daylight saving time permanent. Marianne Rafferty shares a few of the health risks that medical professionals say can come with springing forward.
Sunday, people across the country, except in Arizona and Hawaii, the only states not observing daylight saving time, will turn their clocks an hour ahead.
I wish we could just have one time.
But regardless of if you're for or against it, the CDC says daylight saving time can pose several health complications, citing how the disturbance to our sleep pattern can increase our risk for heart attacks, negative mood swings, and even instances of deadly car accidents.
We're doing things and getting light inputs at times that are at a mismatch for our biological systems.
The CDC also says it takes the average person about a week to adjust to the time change. But for young kids and teenagers, it's harder to get into the swing of things.
They have a higher need for sleep than adults do. If we did away with that, kids would be getting tired at a time that makes a lot more sense. They would be more ready to wake up. Adolescents have a natural biological delay in their circadian rhythm. They naturally become night owls. Their natural biology says you should be staying up later, you should be sleeping in later. And so daylight saving time just pulls that in the exact opposite direction.
On the other hand, some supporters say
an extra hour of light at the end of the day could help tackle obesity and diabetes by allowing Americans to explore the outdoors while reducing stress, blood pressure, and the risks of heart disease and stroke.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. To help reduce the impacts of daylight saving time, the CDC recommends people go to bed 15 minutes earlier each night leading up to the time change. That's tough.
Yeah, it is. Well, the cumulative effect, I guess,
right,
is what they're saying.
Right.
It can build up for it.
Yeah, it's good if you can do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Back to standard time. We have some standard temperatures for this time of year.
Yes.
Anyway, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Yeah, finally. It's hard to really understand what standard or normal is, as warm as it was for January and February. We never really had much of a winter. And March has just stepped up and said, hey, no, here's your winter. It's very interesting, certainly. It's pretty out there, though. I mean, temperatures are cool, but it's, you know, we have mostly sunny skies, a little bit of high thin cloud cover in Goldsboro and Apex, as well as Durham and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. You know, it might be warm enough for you to hang out before the Hurricanes game. Temperature at 5 o'clock is going to be 62. At 10 o'clock, as folks are coming out of the game, 49. But it's going to be nice and clear. We may see some increase in our cloud cover closer to midnight. Here's a look at that system coming our way. Definitely some thunder and lightning with this as it's moving across parts of the Midwest. That will continue. But once it gets here, it's not going to have that same oomph. We're not looking at thunderstorms. We are looking at a very wet commute for the morning. Between 6 and 8, it may be fairly scattered. And then it gets a little heavier between 8 and maybe 11, depending on where you are. Here's Future Cast again. This is 5 p.m. with mainly clear skies. A few clouds start to roll in between, say, 6 and midnight. But the rain doesn't really pick up until, say, sometime between 4 and 6 a.m., depending on where you are. And then it increases a bit between, say, 8 and 10. And then it starts to slide on out. It's possible that we would see another isolated shower at some point during the afternoon. But this version of Futurecast is pretty dry for us in the afternoon. And then during the evening, it starts to clear out, making way for a pretty Saturday. If you're headed to the St. Patrick's Day Parade in downtown Raleigh, it is going to be chilly at 10 when the parade kicks off. 46 degrees. Later in the afternoon, if you're hanging around downtown, temperatures will climb into the low 50s. But even with sunshine, it's definitely going to be chilly. Round number two of rain for the weekend comes in later on Sunday. Later in the afternoon, it continues until Monday morning. This is going to be the one that brings us a significantly bigger amount of rain than what we'll end up seeing on Friday. So Saturday looking nice and dry. We'll see the showers starting to push into the mountains on Sunday morning. It moves across into our viewing area during the afternoon on Sunday. The rain gets a little heavier on Sunday night into Monday morning and then gradually starts to pull out by, say, lunchtime or so. Our amount of rainfall on Friday is likely to be somewhere between a tenth of an inch to a quarter of an inch. But as we get into, say, Monday morning, we total it all up, it's probably going to be closer to an inch. So nice amount of rain. Of course, we were just talking about that story. Yep, we go back to daylight saving time. So we spring forward, we lose that hour of sleep. And I know a lot of people have different ways to handle that. I like to just go ahead and sleep to the normal time on Sunday and then, you know, try to go to bed, you know, earlier, I guess, on on Sunday night. It's a struggle no matter what, that's for sure. Our temperatures are going to be chilly. We're looking at highs after today in the 50s and overnight lows mostly in the 30s. So it's not feeling as much like spring as it was.
Immediately, I thought, you know what? I'm going to have fun with this.
And he did. A grandfather from California found a few unexpected companions while on vacation. The experience he gave them that's now going viral.
Peppa Pig. Here's a look at last night's winning Powerball numbers. Good luck. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Right now, Raleigh police are searching for a suspect after two people were shot. In the last hour, Wake Forest Road at Hodges Street reopened. Police had closed it off during an investigation. Police say right now they do not have a suspect description, but they do believe the shooting was isolated.
A missing 15-year-old boy has been found dead at Jordan Lake. Family released this photo of Roberto Deletto last night when authorities were searching. They say he was with another family member when his jet ski broke down on Tuesday night. Chatham County Sheriff's Office says he hoped that they can provide the family with some closure and peace.
And new in the last 60 minutes, a bill which aims to create stronger punishments for violent protests is moving to Governor Roy Cooper's desk after passing the Senate. It's a response to the 2020 riots in Raleigh over racial injustice that left several businesses damaged downtown. Critics say the bill is racist and will prevent people from holding peaceful protests. Supporters say it will discourage violence at demonstrations. Cooper has not said if he will sign it.
From Broughton to Broadway, Tony Award-winning performer Beth Level returns to the Triangle to perform as part of a big night in for the arts. She talked to WRAL about her start on the stage.
My first show I ever did was my senior year at Broughton High School. I remember the first day of rehearsal, and I instantly went, who are these people and where have they been all my life?
You can see Beth Level and others perform during Big Night In for the Arts tonight at 7 on WREL. You can also donate right now at bignightin.org.
I love this story. A California grandfather got a cute surprise when he unpacked for his vacation in Cabo. He found tiny travelers inside his suitcase. He immediately knew who was behind it all. His 5-year-old granddaughter really wanted to join him, but since she couldn't make the trip, she decided to make sure Peppa Pig and all of Peppa Pig's friends got to see the sights. In fact, he decided to show them the trip of a lifetime. Fancy dinners, pool days, even cooking classes.
Immediately, I thought, you know what? I'm going to have fun with this. She thought enough to put him in my suitcase, so I'm going to take them everywhere we go.
That's just so cute. His daughter, Tanya, filmed behind the scenes and posted a few clips on Instagram and TikTok, which obviously went viral and has been viewed over 13 million times.
Just make sure you bring them back.
Don't lose
She'd
them.
Be very upset.
Yeah.
Our pet of the day would love to join your family. This is Clint, a 6-year-old, weighs 55 pounds, throws himself on the ground in anticipation of belly rubs. He's quiet, doesn't bark, appears to be house trained, and loves other dogs. Clint unfortunately has heartworm disease, but heartworms are treatable, and Clint is receiving his full course of treatment through the SPCA of Wake County as part of his adoption. Interested adopters can get more information about Clint at spcawake.org.
Coming up for us at 4 o'clock, Fox News host Tucker Carlson claims police acted as, quote, tour guides for rioters at the Capitol on January 6th. We'll show you surveillance footage and fact check that claim at 4.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in just 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.